Hey everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast, episode number 157 for some time in the twilight zone between Christmas and New Year. My name is Fraser. I'm joined on my left by Dave.
Hello.
And on my right by Neil.
Hello.
I'm sure I just heard a seal barking in the
background. I did as well. That was weird. What was that about? There's a hype train apparently close.
Okay.
Are we excited about hype trains? I don't know. I still don't know what a fucking hype train is.
I don't know. It sounds like something we should be hyped for.
Should, and maybe trained for.
Oh, jeez, where'd you get that from? A cracker?
I don't know. Well, if we were trained, then we'd know what it fucking was. Oh, there we go.
We're not trained seals.
No.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us. We're trying to squeeze in a show here. We're a little bit off the normal time, a day early, just because we've got, actually Dave and I are at fault here. We've got, we're tied up. Neil has been gracious enough to accommodate us today. And we're going to do the Game of the Year show. So we're not going to do the standard format. We will go through, if anybody's taking the time to send us something, I think we have a quiz from Lord and...
Question from Chinny.
A question from Chinster.
From Mike Chin.
Okay. All right, very good. So we'll get those done, and then we'll get on to the Game of the Year stuff, and then the normal nonsense of what we've been up to and games we've been playing. We will not bother with that. We'll do that next week to Neil's chagrin.
Whatever. Are we doing fantasy football or not? Did you say we were doing fantasy football or not?
We're not doing football either.
Okay. Well, it's back, obviously.
Unless you want to quickly go over the table. Do you want to quickly go over the table?
I can show you the table. And I'd just like to mention Luton Town got rid of a big fucking hoodoo early on tonight. Smashed QPR 3-0 away. Haven't won there since 1984 or something.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And scored an absolute banger. So there we go. Check that out on the...
Check it out
on the old not match of the day because it's championship.
I'll get right on that.
Okay, so Fantasy Premier League, obviously it came back this weekend, and it was a relatively high-scoring week for everyone, I'd say. Obviously, a lot of people have made their use of their unlimited transfers during the month break, me being one of them.
And I didn't make many changes, actually.
No, I didn't make too many, to be fair. I have made another one since. Just one. I haven't cost myself any points already or played my wild card. But, yeah, I had to get Almiron in because I was just getting sick of him scoring goals when I haven't got him. And I didn't have him. I still didn't put him in. So I binned off Trossard because he went down 0.1 million as well. I was like, right, everyone's off the Trossard train. And I was getting a bit of value there. So he's gone. Almiron's in, which means Almiron. Sorry, everyone has had Almiron for a week. So it's going to be shit now. So Welsh Wizards held on at the top. Scored 78 on the week. Is on 1,010 points. Certain Pilch Reed is still in second. Of course, scored 72, 971. And Our Lord is had a good week on 81, 956. I see the top score was something like 140 points. They bench boosted, but the top 11 score was something like 130. So while everyone did okay, we were nowhere near the top end of the scores for the year.
I'm looking at it and I scored 78 and I still really gained no ground on maybe two or three people. I gained some ground.
I scored 84 points and went down a place. I was like, how did I do that?
Wow.
I think it was because me and Joel, he's probably going to get the boot, let's be honest, were level on points and he outscored me by five. So he must have been slightly below me because I was like, I've scored more points than virtually everyone ahead of me, apart from like him. And Sam Hockley.
Who is Joel Reeves? Is he someone that we're getting that was a
pilch.
To?
Yeah, that was a pilch. I think Nathan and Joel were Pilch's mates from work, I think.
Why have you not hoofed them yet?
I'd like to beat them fair and square, but, you know.
Yeah, fair and square is hoofing them. There you go. Doesn't get more fair or square.
So, yeah, generally, it was a good week for everyone. David Biles had a pretty weak week.
Yeah, I didn't make any changes.
That may have been a bad move.
I missed that.
I thought you were going to be all over it after your World Cup run.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, right. Now, let's have a look here. There's Guar's Guarriors and Michael Redmond's Your Sister's Ass are not ahead of me. I know there was a lot of talk, shit-talking from the Garcast fellows about how they were going to...
they were going to catch you up, were they?
Yeah. DeFelici is up there. But I gained 8 points on him. So the Garcast crew, watch out. That's all I'm saying.
Coming for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it looks like my son and Phil Taylor were top scorers on the week on 92. So no one in our league broke the 100-point barrier. But there was a lot of talk on Twitter about, come on then, who hit the 100 mark? I was like, well, obviously like a lot of people got 100, but we were all above average anyway. Well, most of us anyway.
Not me.
And Paul Davis is the first to total above 1,000.
So far. Yeah. Won't be long.
So far. Yep. Congrats.
So, yeah. Get 2 games tomorrow night. And there's 2 game weeks in the next 4 or 5 days. Just to let you know. Because there's a game week starts on Friday, finishes Saturday. And then there's another one starts on Sunday, I think. Because there's New Year's Day, and I think, which is Sunday. And I think that's another game week versus. I don't know. It's all fucked up anyway. There's a lot of game weeks going on. It's like you need to be on it, basically. But right. It means your extra transfers come in thick and fast at the moment. So, okay. That is enough for football, I think.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Neil. Thanks for all your work over the World Cup.
And we did start a second chance league, but there's only about 6 people in it. So,
all right. Okay. But we're going to keep an eye on that at some point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Cool. Well, assuming you end up winning it,
I hope so.
Didn't start very well for you, I have to say.
Okay. Let's then move on. We'll get through this community stuff that we have here. We have a question from Mike Chin, friend of the show. He says, any games that you wish you played this year but not had time? Mine are Tunic and Elden Ring. Is it Tunic or Tunic?
I'd say Tunic with a sort of ch sound because I'm shit at English, I guess. I don't know.
I'd have said Tunic, but...
Tunic doesn't sound like a word. Tunic.
Is it tubes or tubes?
Tubes. Yeah, it's like a ch sound.
Is it?
Yeah.
I get told all the time.
T after a U is a chew.
Tubes.
Sounds, apparently.
No, it's a strong T. Tubes.
No one says that.
It's like pubes.
They do over tubes. Here. Well, I get pulled up on that all the time by saying
well,
tubes.
What do they know? They're not English.
So do you say pubes or pubes?
Pubes. That's P-Y-U, isn't it? Pew. Pyaubs.
Look at my pubes.
Pubes is not the same as.
I think it's a regional dialect.
Of course.
Depends on how you say it. It's like grass or grass.
No, that's not like that at all.
Or bath or bath.
That's definitely a thing. No one says tubes. No one.
See, this is why we have to keep this. We start this show and I say, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. And Neil gives me the stink eye and wonders why. You need the responsibility of trying to keep this show on course, and you would understand.
It's fine, I've been there before. This is just a little couple of minutes. It's not going to add that much.
They add up. They add up. Trust me.
You don't have to edit it.
Any games? I'm not going to edit. Shit.
I know.
Any games? You know that. I would put probably a vote in there for Elden Ring. I don't think there's anything else that I would.
I can't ever see you playing Elden Ring. I just can't see it.
I think if I had the time, I think I'd enjoy.
Look, you don't
playing
have to be
Elden
a freak
Ring.
Like me and banging over 200 hours. That was just because I was enjoying it.
But it seems like most people that do play Elden Ring and enjoy Elden Ring has to put in...
Well, it's over 100 hours.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Minimum. Elden Ring is not... It's. I'd like to have played it this year so that I could have talked about it with Neil. How about that? But what stopped me playing it has not been time. It's been cost.
It's money. Tight arse.
Tight arse. Yeah, I'm waiting for it to come down and then I'll play it.
It's down. It's not going to, I'll tell you what, it ain't going to get cheaper than it is right now for a long time, I don't think. 35 quid, mate.
Oof.
Bargain.
Oof. Mate, I got car repairs. I can't.
You can't afford 35 quid? Shut up.
No, I can't. I'm broke. Broke ass. I got nothing, mate.
You should do more work.
I'm trying.
Might pay more.
Any games that you guys wish you played this year but haven't?
I think Elden Ring for me. I think. It's less about like wish I'd. Yeah, well, I don't know. I always wish I've got more time to play games, but I don't. But the game, like you know, I want to play Hunt. I don't have time to do that because you got to put in the time. PUBG is fun. Yeah, with everybody.
Is it?
No. Not fun. Even with everybody, it's like the least amount of fun.
I've been playing more PUBG and I'm not sure about that. But
it's that whole just having fuck all to do when you're dead part of the game.
Yeah,
and that game could be dead in the first 2 minutes and then.
That seems to be a running theme in a lot of the games I'm playing right now. Neil, anything on that you're longing to have played?
I thought of something earlier, and now I've fucking forgotten, haven't I? Because I'm shit at these things. I think, basically the games that I've bought and haven't played are the ones that I wish I'd made time for. Like, Judgment, particularly, recently I bought. Hadn't started it. Not a new game this year, by any means. Well, it kind of is on PC, but I haven't bought it on PC. I bought a load of games. Like Return, what's it called? Return of the Obra Dinn. I haven't played that since I bought that in the previous Steam sale. So it was a whole Steam sale ago that I bought that. I haven't started that yet. So, because I know they're supposed to be really good games as well. Maybe not everyone's cup of tea Judgment, but I haven't played a game like that, Yakuza, for a while. And I fucking loved those games. So, and I'm on a kind of detective thing at the minute. So that could be my next game, I reckon. Judgment. But I don't know if anything that's actually come out this year. Maybe God of War Ragnarok, I suppose. But I was a bit God of War'd out because I played God of War at the beginning of the year. It's like I haven't played Horizon Forbidden West, which came with my PS5, because I had to finish Horizon Zero Dawn. And after playing that for 30 hours, I was like, I don't really want to play any more Horizon. So I've got a load of games already just to go next, but I don't know which one I'm going to go for.
I know I've got one, X4. I wish I could play that more, but I loved it. But it's such a time sink. I know. And there's other games that I'm playing. So yeah, X4 was a great space sim economy thing that I've still got it installed, and I every time I think about playing it, I was like, oh god, this is going to be like 4 hours.
Yeah.
It gets worse the longer I leave it, because I'm going to have to relearn. So yeah.
I got another one.
Go on.
This didn't come out this year. Disco Elysium. I bought that fucking ages ago, and I ain't played that yet. That's another detective game. So maybe I'll get on that while I'm in a detective mood.
Yeah, it's good to have those things that are lined up, different types of games lined up, though, so because a lot of it is about what are you in the mood for playing as well, right? I'm deep into my sort of logic and puzzle games right now. So it's nice to have those lined up. I'll be up for an adventure game later on.
Yeah, you should play the game that I bought, that I've been playing.
Which one was that again?
If you're Case of the Golden Idol.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit rich for you, though, because it's like 14 quid. Less than 10 hours. Probably.
I need to find a golden idol to be able to afford golden idol.
It's looking like a maybe 6 or 7 hour job. So,
Okay. Well, I hope that sort of answers Mike's question.
I actually had some answers for a question, so I'm happy. So
yeah, there we go. That's good. Okay, Lord's given us a quiz. Who wants to be quizmaster? Dave?
I'll be quizmaster.
Okay.
Just trying to find out where it is. Hang on a second.
Show comments.
Show comments. Thank you.
Does that mean you still do the answer? You still answer the questions, though, don't you?
Oh yeah, I'm just reading them out. That's fine. Okay, so quiz time. Courtesy from Lord. Right. Question number one. Okay, no, I'll read the first bit first. Okay, last 2022 quiz. Let's try and get some right answers for a change. Question number one. What is Mojang Studios' biggest game?
Well, there's a long answer there.
There is a long
answer. Because
don't worry about that. Don't worry about
that. Whether Minecraft. That's a red herring. I don't like the fact that we pay attention to that. I mean, the knee jerk thing is Minecraft, right?
Yes.
Well, it's literally like, not literally, in terms of length of code, I guess it's not that big. But it's got one of the biggest worlds inside it, and it's just huge, isn't it, in terms of sales and everything.
I feel like it's a trick question about to bite us in the ass. Like, did Mojang Studios, did they...
Well, do they do some mobile game?
Is there something weird in the name? Like, did Mojang Studios only be, like, created after Microsoft bought Mojang?
I think you're looking too much in, because I haven't actually looked at the answer yet, but I'd say Minecraft, but the it could be that he's put like the Java edition on Switch of Minecraft or something like that. Legends of Minecraft or whatever the adventure game is. No, I'd say Minecraft. So we're all on
Minecraft.
We're all on Minecraft. Okay. Cool. I'll just put down on my notes Minecraft.
We're going to remember that, Dave. I'm going to remember that.
Okay. So, question number two. What does the acronym MOBA stand for?
Who's going first?
Do the question again.
I think I know the answer.
Does the acronym MOBA stand for? MOBA. Is that the...
So it's like a Dota.
Dota. So, I don't actually know. It's something like, oh, for God's sake.
Multiplayer online battle arena.
Yeah, that's what I think it is.
That sounds right. I was thinking of...
In Christmas spirit, let's do a joint quiz. Right? We're all in this together. It's us versus Lord.
Multiplayer online battle arena.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Okay. Yeah,
I thought you'd know that, Dave. Like, just
no. I think I was thinking of like something else. I don't know. Maybe I was thinking of the Dota acronym,
Defense of the Ancients. And
yeah. Something. Okay. Question number three. Overwatch 2 has 5 players per team. True or false? I thought it's 6.
It was 5 in Overwatch 1, wasn't it?
I don't know.
They changed it for Overwatch 2. I can't. Was it more now or less? I thought it was 4.
Oh. Okay. I'm going to say that's false.
Yeah, I think it's
because I thought it's 6, but you're saying it's 4.
I think it's 4 because I'm sure they dropped one because people obviously had their teams of 5 and they had to, they were talking about like professional teams having to lose a player.
Oh right, okay.
It went from, it didn't go from 6 to 5, did it?
Oh. All right, I'll go false then.
You go false. False. Neil, you going false?
Yeah, I think it's false. I think it's 4.
Okay. False. I think, I don't know. There's 50-50 in it, really.
Well, literally, yeah.
And the last question number 4, in which game we find the character GLaDOS?
Portal.
Portal 1 or Portal 2? I think Portal. Again, this is an answer with a really long, like...
Yeah,
what's the thing in Portal 2 called?
It was Weeble or something, wasn't it? Wesley or Webble or something.
It was the guy, Stephen Merchant, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have not played Portal 2.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Should get
gamer credentials completely out of the window.
I think it's on sale at the moment. It's for like
I've got Portal 2. Don't worry about that.
He's probably got it on like three different systems.
Yeah. I think that was one of the... When you join Steam, it's like, oh, the first Steam sale, just go and buy everything that's fucking like a quid. It's like, oh, I haven't played Portal 2. I'll buy that.
Right. That was it. So that's all four questions. Thank you very much, Lord. I'll go through the answers, yeah?
Yeah.
So, what is Mojang's studio's biggest game? The answer is... Oh, for God's sake, looking at the length of the answer doesn't help. Minecraft.
He's on to us, isn't he?
Good stuff.
Excellent.
All right, it's one.
Phew! So, question number two. What does the acronym MOBA stand for? The answer is Multiplayer Online Battle Arena.
Yeah, boy.
I think. Question number three. Okay. Overwatch 2 has 5 players per team. True or false? Apparently it's true. Maybe it went from 6 to 5.
It must have gone from 6 to 5.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Question number four. In which game will you find the character GLaDOS? The answer is, Lord's put, one of my favourites, Portal.
Good stuff.
Fuck it.
Three for four. That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. I forgot. We haven't done what we've been doing. Are we doing what we've been doing?
No.
Oh.
Why?
Have you not watched that film then?
What? What film?
Have you not watched that film?
What film?
The film me and Dave have both watched.
I have no idea. Are you asking me, should I be looking at the notes?
That's
no, we'll do it next week. No, we said we'll do that stuff next week.
We can do that to one next week.
We came second in a pub quiz the other day.
Well done.
And that was just me and my boy and a mate, and then my wife's team came first. It was quite funny. Wow. I have to tell you now, because on the way to the pub, it was a 2022 quiz. And on the way to the pub, my wife, Lou, decided to Google 2022 quiz. And we went through loads of answers. It's literally like a 10-minute walk to the pub. And when we got in the pub and they started doing the quiz, he was basically doing the same fucking quiz. We just looked out on the way down to the pub. No. So we fucking absolutely smashed it. And someone had got 70 points. And they were going, like, the reading out, they were like second and the first place teams. And they were like, second place, come 86. They were like, what? How did they get 86? I was like, it was like, do you know who Bruce Kent is?
No idea.
No idea.
He died this year. And he was renowned for being the head of a major political organization since the 1970s or something. And it happened to be CND. And I was like, I never would have fucking known that if we hadn't had that on the way down the fucking pub. It was right random stuff coming out in that. But yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
CND, that's something I've not heard from.
Haven't heard of them for a while, have you?
No.
I feel like they didn't do very well.
No, I don't think so. Okay, let's move on then to the game of the year. So we have a number of lists.
So we're going through the community stuff first, yeah?
We can sort of mix it up a bit or whatever. I think we'll go through the community and then we can go through ours.
We'll go for our fives to one. Like all five to one.
Okay. And what I'm going to do as well is I'm going to do a weighting system. I'm going to keep track of every answer. If it's somebody's number one, it gets 5 points. If it's somebody's number two, it gets 4 points, et cetera, et cetera. And
for everyone? Like throughout the community stuff? And
Yeah, let's just do everyone's and then we'll see what we come up with. So, okay. Neil, do you want to do...
I'll have to scroll back a few here. So the first person who actually dropped in some games was Quaxel on the Discord, I think. There was a couple of comments before that, I think he actually gave us. Well, he's got no particular order here, I'm afraid, for your waiting system.
I think the waiter in the how is put them down.
They seem in an order that could well be 1 to 5 to me. Yeah. 1 being the best one. So he's got Vampire Survivors, Elden Ring, Gran Turismo.
Whoa. Slow down, cowboy. Slow down.
Trey's getting his pen and paper out. Come on.
He's got what? Vampire Survivors?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair choice. Fair choice.
I think there's definitely a few mentions of some of these games that's coming up. Elden Ring.
Ooh, Elden Ring. Okay.
Never heard of it. Gran Turismo 7.
GT7?
Oh.
Okay.
Stray.
Cat game. Please.
And Hell Let Loose.
Now, that wasn't that the rhythm game or something?
No, Hell Let Loose.
No,
it's the rhythm of World War II, yeah.
World War II, like a first person shooter.
Squad, but in World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think John Mouse was going on about that.
Yeah, John Mouse was definitely had some love for that. It's a Stinky Poo did say, just a comment, he said, I didn't know anything about High on Life until it came to Game Pass. Well, that might be a contender, a kind of free game of the year. But he didn't do a full 5, I think so. And next up, we'll talk about Highland Caper, a.k.a. Kev.
Hang on a second. I think we just give a little bit more love to Quaxel here before we move on. Because he's got a number of games there that are pretty straightforward. But that Hell Let Loose. So what do we know about this Hell Let Loose? Why is this on somebody's
fucking hard?
Here? Is it?
Yeah.
Did you look in?
I played it when it was a free weekend.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of those games, it's got a community. And I think your mileage may vary with these games. Like, if you're lucky, you get into a game and there's some helpful people and they get, you know, teach you what to do, potentially, which I had one guy who was just like, took me under his wing and was just, I was like, just tell me what to do, man, because I'll do whatever you tell me to.
You get on
fucking
your knees.
Clue what's going on. Yeah. So I was digging trenches and, well, not trenches, digging things and slapping things with my hammers and stuff to build barricades and whatever. And I didn't, at the end of it, I still didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing.
He didn't get you to milk a cow blindfold. No,
he didn't do anything weird like that. And yeah, or you could go into a game and just be like people full of obnoxious people who don't want to fucking help anyone. And just like, oh, you're fucking noob. I'm not interested in helping. I don't need this grief. I don't need to fucking hold someone through the game. So it's going to be one of them.
Right.
You have to get lucky. Or you've got a ready-made crew just to go in and learn. Like you had with Squad, when you played Squad. You all went in. We had one person who'd played it before who kind of gave everyone the gist of what to do.
Yeah, Squad is very much like that. I was thinking.
I haven't played it yet. I bought that as well. That's another game I bought. I haven't played yet.
Squad.
Squad is another one. I think it's good that we all have it in the back pocket so that at some point, everybody goes, let's go play Squad, and then a load of us can go in and play it, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely, I think there's a couple of games in there that might come up again.
Okay. Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. All right, Quaxel, thank you very much. We appreciate that. It's good to have you around. He also says all the best for 2023. Thank you very much, mate. It's much appreciated.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Indeed. Let's hope 2023 is just a bit better in general. So Highland Caper, moving on, has given us a 5.
Who's in charge?
His and best games from this year are. You ready?
Yep.
You right? You got your pen?
Yes.
Number one, Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Mm-hmm.
Brackets Steam version. Number two, You may have heard of this game, Hunt Showdown.
Yes.
Yes. Number three. There's been a bit of chat about this game in the last couple of days. Escape from Tarkov.
Yes. Some updates.
Number four, A God of War Ragnarok. And his number five was Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
Which is another game I've got downloaded on my PS5. I haven't fucking played.
that's supposed to be a really good game, though.
Yeah, this is the guy who says struts around shouting at how we should all buy a game. You have issues.
You just don't have to buy these games. Just subscribe to PS Plus.
I need to get a PlayStation.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a lot more money than a case of the Golden Idol, I can tell you that.
Okay, so it's nice to hear from Kev, one of the original SEALs. He was here at show number one.
It was.
Yep. We had many, many, many hours of PUBG, good PUBG times with Kev.
Fancied a roof, didn't he? He always fancied a roof.
He loved PUBG. A good roof. Good roof camp, yeah. I enjoyed many time I spent on a roof just chatting away to Kev. It was good. Yes, he's got Spider-Man on there, Miles Morales. How different is that from the normal Spider-Man?
I think
game?
The gameplay-wise is very similar, I believe. That's obviously just the stories are different, I think. I have got this on my PS5 as well, which I haven't played. But yeah, I think from what I've seen, it just looks like it's slightly different Spider-Man, obviously. But yeah, it's mainly the story that will be different.
Right. Okay, Hunt Showdown.
Ghost of Tsushima, I've got to get on that. I've got to do Ghost of Tsushima because I know that's a lot of people. Anyone who's played that game rates it.
Yeah
Chinny was big into that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
God of War Ragnarok doesn't really need much talking about. That seems to be a bit of a darling with people. Sony, Sony ponies.
Yeah.
And Tarkov.
Kind of like a Hunt.
It's like Hunt, but with...
I think it's closer now. It's got something that's closer to... what's the Call of Duty game now?
DMZ.
DMZ, yeah. DMZ, sorry.
Tarkov is one... You know what? I've always wanted to play Tarkov. It looks fucking brutal. Mm. But I was always put off by the fact that it wasn't on Steam. You had to go straight.
It was a weird, dodgy website. I remember I went onto it once.
I don't think it's weird and dodgy. Yeah.
But it was one of those...
Install their own launcher.
It was one of the things... I'll tell you the problem I had with it at the start was it was right around the time... You know, PUBG was just on the descendancy, right?
Mm.
And there were hundreds of clones out there.
Yeah.
Hundreds of games that were popping up. Hundreds of, you know, lots of survival games, battle royale games. And they weren't lasting. Like, people were, you know, we were watching the development. Because at the time when we were really big into PUBG, there were like two or three huge games in development, which looked really slick, which we were all talking about. And then they just died, right? They didn't even make it out, right? They just... and so I flip-flopped a bit on Tarkov and never...
But it's been around a while now.
Yeah, for sure. And I know a lot of them have been getting very excited because there's been a huge update and a wipe, which would have been a good time to jump in.
It's still it's still time. It's like, it's 25% off at the minute.
Well, you never know.
I think if it did come to Steam, I think I'd be tempted, but I just can't.
You can't refund it. Because it's technically an early access game.
Right.
You're buying into the beta. Is what it's classed.
Right.
You're not getting your money back if you don't like it.
No, exactly. It's like there is no refunds. So.
Yeah.
It's like 20 odd quid, I think, to get in at the base tier now.
Right.
Oh, that's a lot cheaper than it was when I was looking at it like a couple of years ago. So it's like 50
You can spend
quid
a lot more than that, don't worry.
Yeah. No, I was looking at 50 quid for the base and then like, extra tenner for some.
I say 20 odd quid. It was 20 odd euros. So it depends on the exchange rate at the minute, I guess, because I don't actually know what the fuck's going on with that.
Well, that's not too bad.
I don't think you want the base game. I mean, you have to go ask somebody like Sean or Kev.
Well, they said both said, buy it at the cheapest level, and if you like it, you can upgrade.
Well, that sounds like higher tiers.
Yeah. Good, solid list, Kev. Thank you very much. Good to hear from you, mate.
Yes.
Okay, who we got next?
Right, Major Revenge, a.k.a. John Mouse. He actually sent a top five in, because he'd already commented. He was the first to comment in here, saying it was COD Modern Warfare 2, and how it's pulled him in after so long avoiding COD games, and it's the DMZ mode that's really grabbed him. And then when he listed his top five, it was only number three. Major Revenge's top five are number one, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is not the latest one. Number two was Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which is the latest one. That's a lot of Assassin's Creed to be doing in 1 year.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Three was COD Modern Warfare 2. Four was The Outer Worlds.
That is a
available
game.
On Game Pass. Is it? It's like, it's like the Obsidian, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not Fallout, but it's Fallout.
It's not Fallout. Similar, but not.
Yeah. And five was a Resident Evil 4. I don't know where he's played that in 2022, because obviously it's getting remade next year.
So. You could play that on your watch in 2022. That game is everywhere. Here's an interesting fact. Out of those first three Game of the Year lists, not one repeat. Nobody's repeated anything.
That's about to change.
I know, that's why I'm getting that in now. there's a little bit more Assassin's Creed on there than I would prefer, but
I can't do it anymore. Well, I got massively burned out on Odyssey. It just pissed me off after a while.
Are we going to tell John how trash his list is?
No, it's fine. Everyone eats to their own, isn't it? But I just couldn't. I've got to a point. I was like,
that's
40
no
hours
fun.
In.
It's much more fun if I get
fucking tons to of it still left. I was like, no way.
It's very all-encompassing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, isn't it? Or is DMZ only available if you buy that game?
No, DMZ is available as part of Warzone 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get DMZ and Warzone 2 for free, and then you can buy the COD campaign and multiplayer.
Cash. Yeah. Cash money.
Right.
On sale at the minute. Not cheap enough for you. That's for sure.
No, not at all. The Outer Worlds. I don't think so. I think I fired it up. It's very colourful, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I played it. It's kind of like a Fallout game in space, where you know the talking to characters is very much similar in the Fallout 3 or 4 style, where like you've got multiple options and you're looking at them face on.
You kind of zoom into a dialogue, like it's like your third or first person. First person, isn't
you
it?
Both. You can have either or.
You enter into a dialogue screen, and it will just like zoom up with their face, pretty much.
Yeah.
Very Fallout.
I can't remember if there was a VAT style. Can't remember, but I remember the actual like. The gameplay, the moving around was quite similar. It felt similar to a Fallout game. It felt like it was in the same engine. It was good. And there was, you know.
Did you finish it?
I didn't finish it. No. I played about 6 or 7 hours of it.
That's not a lot, is it, for a Fallout type game?
It's not a lot for a Fallout type game. No, I think
I don't know if it's as long as Fallout. To be fair, I don't think.
No,
I don't think it's like a 100-hour job.
I suspect Starfield's going to be similar to it.
I suspect Starfield's going to have a lot more to it, I would say. I'd hope so, anyway.
From what I've seen, there is a lot
more. It's a bit more serious-looking Starfield, isn't it? This was super colourful and like a bit over coloured, kind of like over saturated and stuff like that. Versus, I can see Starfield being a lot of grey, a bit more realistic, spacey.
Yeah, I don't know. Does that make good gameplay out a lot?
No, not necessarily.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry,
the Resident Evil 4, that's a definite old game. Not sure.
It is. Very old.
Soon to be re-released. Remastered. That's coming soon. So that's going
to
be great.
That'll be interesting to see, because they did a very good job with 2, but people weren't so fussed about 3. So with 4 being so beloved, they better not fuck that remake up, eh?
I think the remaster or remake of 3 wasn't very good because I don't think it was a very good game.
What, in the first place?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I think 4 is going to be spectacular. Which? They cannot afford to screw that up. That is the flagship game, I think, of the Resident Evil franchise, right? I mean, it's the foundation. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm talking out my arse because I love it so much, but...
No, I would say you're not alone in your opinion there. Like most people, if you was to say, what's your favourite Resident Evil game, a lot of people would say 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that without really knowing why.
Yeah.
He might be in his game of the year next year as well.
Could be.
I hope to have played it. I hope to play it as soon as it comes out. Well, not as soon as it comes out. I need it to go down in price a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not going to be on Game Pass, is it?
Maybe.
Right.
You never know.
I can tell you that won't be coming to games. Anyway, I feel like a PlayStation would be putting some money into that. Make sure that doesn't go on Game Pass.
Okay, next up.
Okay, Gary, the real Defo is next up. He's done 4, a top 4. So how are you working this one? Just still giving 5 points for the top one?
Yeah, I still weighted it.
Okay, so he's got his game of the year correct. It's Elden Ring.
Interesting fact, Elden Ring has the most votes so far.
Yes. And quickly followed up by another one with more votes, Hunt Showdown for number 2. Number 3, Valheim. Still, it's had an update a big update this year, a couple of big updates.
It has had a big, there's a swamp biome.
Is it swamps?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Valheim was interesting. For those who don't know it, it was like, what was the best way to describe it? It was sort of like an adventure game, right? So you spawn in this world with just the loincloth on your back, you know, and then it's a survival game, right? So you're cracking rocks and building hammers and then
whatever. That's how it starts.
Yeah, until you
build a lot of crafting, a lot of progression. In many different ways.
Like, and then you would sort of go out to explore the rest of the world, but the world was very tough. If you weren't prepared, it would slap you back into next week.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game, let's be honest.
It was
when
good.
When it's finally finished, I might play it again.
Yeah, because sure what was interesting was you would go out to sort of the outer regions, you'd finally build your boat and go out, and there would be shoreline, or you would be exploring an island and then there would just be like this barrier where you couldn't go any further because it just hadn't been generated, right? It wasn't created yet. But yeah, there were some epic battles going on there. The camp, I mean, I didn't get too involved in a lot of the grinding work at all, but I remember coming back and seeing the camp that everyone had built was just astounding.
When it finally rendered in.
I remember I spent a lot of time building my house, and it was like everyone was like, "You've got to destroy your house. It's taking up too much like processing power for the server."
Oh yeah, yeah, that was pretty neat. You had trenches and stuff all around it.
No, we just dug fucking massive trenches to the sea. I don't know.
And he's got V Rising on there.
Yeah, V Rising is the vampire Valheim.
Yeah, I played V Rising.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't get too much into it, but I played it. It's like a top-down view, and yeah, to gather resources and complete missions, and you gained abilities, depending on who you ate at the time. It was good, really good, actually. Yeah, I'm not surprised it's Defoe's one of his games of the year. Not mine, because again, I only put like 15 hours into it, probably. But no, it was a very good game.
Okay.
It's on sale. Like pretty much everything's on sale at the minute.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, Defoe. I think your name's going to come back up again in a bit.
That is it, indeed.
Yep, when it comes to my list. Okay.
Chill Robots next? Up next. Chill Robots, if you didn't hear that. He's got a game at number one, which definitely is probably not the only person to have put this at number one, but I don't know if we've got anyone else in our lists. Marvel Snap.
Mobile game.
Yeah, which came out of nowhere. Well, it's not just mobile. You can play it on Steam.
Oh, can you? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I've got it on my mobile.
Whoops. Yeah, came out of nowhere, really. I never heard of this thing, and then it's just gone huge on the... Certainly on mobiles. Yeah. The card... Marvel card game. Not Hearthstone. I don't really... I've not played it, so someone else might be able to describe it better. Or not?
I fired it up, and yeah, I mean, it's a card game.
With marble.
It's, yeah, but it's not like a Hearthstone, is it? You don't battle like Hearthstone.
I'm not exactly sure what the... How the mechanics
work. You've got
lanes.
I mean, you've got lanes or something.
Yeah, there's sort of three different lanes, and you can attach the different cards to different lanes, and... I guess there's buffs and debuffs in there. I'm sure people who, you know, I'm sure Justin is screaming at his podcast listener of choice right now and butchering what Marvel Snap is. But yeah, I hear very good things. You know,
it's a very quick games. When I play it, I've played it a couple of times on mobile. And it's very quick. It's like you just place down the cards and depending on what lanes of cards you put in, you get different buffs or debuffs, and you've got to win two lanes out of the three to win the match. And I think you put down there's five different sort of ability times that you can put down your card, and all the cards are got different, like either they're just a defense or no defense, an attack or energy that you have to spend to put the card down. And like with Hearthstone, is you like on the first turn you get like two energy, so you can only put down your low cards, and then by the time it's your fifth round it goes up to five energy. And there's strategy behind it, and you know, the more you play, the more you unlock, the more cards you unlock, the better cards you can put down, and they have different cards have different buffs. Like sometimes they duplicate, and if you play the right cards with the right buffs that on the lanes, like it's a very strategic game. And yeah, I've seen a few lists with Marvel Snap in it. It's I think it's like the new Hearthstone, but these games you can play in like 5 minutes or less.
Right.
So,
perfect for the phone, right?
Perfect toilet for the game. Mobile. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Elden Ring, of course, gets another nod. Neil, yeah. You're our resident Destiny expert. He's got in there the Witch Queen campaign on legendary difficulty.
You may have heard this before, but I've bought that, but I haven't played it yet.
Mate.
I have played a little bit of it. I have started it. They're only buying when they're cheap.
Yeah, but they're not cheap if you don't play them.
No,
they're still cheap. It's just, you know, maybe it's not value for money if you don't play them. I will play that. Maybe that would have been my one that I should have played in this year. Because when we're going back to Mike's question at the beginning. Well, I didn't buy it until November or whatever. So. Yeah, on Legendary difficulty, this is a new thing that they've introduced with this campaign. So obviously Halo is famous for having its difficulty levels. And so they added this into the Witch Queen. So the way they do it is, obviously you have a power level in Destiny and you can get to a point where a mission is supposed to be, say, 1500, and you're already 1600, so you're just absolutely beasting everything.
Right.
But in Legendary, they basically cap your power level. So when it gets to a hard point, it's always hard.
Right.
So, yeah, and there's other things like they take your radar off, they do a load of stuff, which there's all mechanics that are in various modes of Destiny, where in your strikes and stuff, they have modifiers on the, depending on how hard you want to make it, you can go in and make it super hard, and it will just like make certain types of damage do more damage, or melee attacks are really powerful and stuff like that. There's loads of stuff in there. To make it more interesting when you're replaying the same content, obviously.
Sounds fair, yeah.
So, yeah, I will get to that. I need to get to it soon because of the new ones coming out in February. So I need to fucking smash through the Witch Queen 3 times with my 3 characters. Moving on to number 4, Warhammer Darktide, which is a new entry into our list.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to look that up. I don't know anything about it, but I'm looking here.
I played it the other day.
Oh, did you buy it?
I didn't. No, it's on Game Pass.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't like it. I'm not a Warhammer person, so maybe it was... If you're into Warhammer, maybe. I don't know if it was that, but I was just like, nah.
No.
It was running a bit weird, and my character was speaking, and it just didn't look like how he sounded at all. It was just weird, because you could create your own character and choose a voice, and it was just weird. Yeah, it just wasn't for me.
No. Is it just like a single-player shooter?
Well, no, you can co-op it, but it's like you revisit the same content to play over and over and over.
Is it PvE, though?
Yes. So, but there's like strong melee built, like part of it. But the melee felt good, and then I got a gun, and I was like, yeah, gun's a bit poo.
Right.
I don't know if it gets better, but I was like, nah. I've got too many other games that I haven't played already, so I'm not investing time in this one. And finally, on Justin's list, is Midnight Suns, which I've heard getting some love around as well. It's quite new.
I'm going to need a reminder on that one.
Midnight Suns is Marvel XCOM.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's your XCOM, but with Marvel characters. But better.
Yeah, apparently it is good. I've heard a lot of people say it is actually good, but like anything with Marvel, I'm immediately nope, because just massively anti-Marvel, just because it's just too much.
Yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it? I mean, I'd probably the same. I'd probably, if it wasn't Marvel, then I might be tempted to go and have a look at it, but the fact that it's Marvel, I mean, I guess it's a shame, right? If it is if it is half decent. But you know, there's a lot of people out there who love Marvel, so
yes, seems so.
I mean, Justin in Alabama, he's bookended his top 5 indeed with Marvel games.
Yeah. Well, they are good games, apparently, as well.
Yes,
he didn't put Avengers in there because that's not a very good game,
or Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is supposed to be a word, though. I wasn't going to say that.
Okay.
That's supposed to be
okay. It was all right.
I haven't finished that. Well, speaking of which.
There we okay, go. Justin, that's, thank you very much. Up. It's good to hear from you, mate. Yeah, thanks very much for being on board. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else we got?
We've got Wise Old Elf up next, who's got a God of War Ragnarok at number 1.
God of War Ragnarok. Okay.
At number 1.
Mm. Yes.
And Elden Ring at number 2.
Yes.
And the aforementioned Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy at number three.
Yeah, I mean, it was well-liked. It was pretty slow. I played it. I played a fair. I had a fair shake of it. And it was, I thought it was well done. I liked the characters. I thought it was pretty neat that they sort of, it was more towards the comic books than it was the movies. I had no problem with that. Some people bitched and moaned about it, of course.
That'd have bitched the other way.
And it had a couple of things that were pretty neat, I guess. But in the end, I found it a very boring, formulaic sort of adventure game. I didn't think it didn't hold me, unfortunately. Right. But I could see why people like it.
I haven't played it. It's Marvel.
You own it.
It's on Game Pass.
Did you buy it?
It was on Game Pass.
It was on Game Pass. Yeah, I don't know if it still is.
Okay, next up, another shout for Horizon Forbidden. We've had Horizon Forbidden West already?
We haven't had.
I feel like we did.
No.
I feel like it would have been already.
No, we have not.
Well, there we go. Horizon Forbidden West for the first time on the lists. I haven't played it. I got it came with my PS5. I haven't played it.
You should do a top 5 games you haven't played.
I could do a top 20 I haven't played, probably. I've got all the good games, I just ain't played any of them. And then number 5, Last of Us 2, which I have not played, and I have not got. I haven't bought that one.
Do you want to know something bad? I haven't played any of the Last of Us games.
That's not bad.
It's not a bad, Dave. It's not a bad. I played The Last of Us. It was good.
The story was good.
I didn't walk away thinking that was the best game I've ever played.
Well,
I walked away thinking, I can't believe how much people jizz over this. It just makes no sense to me.
That's all about the story, isn't it? The story is affecting, and it's it's mature, inverted commas, for a video game.
All right, here we go, and I expect the hate mail to come flooded in.
I don't think it will.
There just seems to be something with first party titles on Sony, like The Last of Us, or
Horizon.
What's the other one? Horizon or what's the other one? Nathan Drake.
Sackboy.
There just seems to be just this I don't know.
What's a formula?
Not a formula. No, it just seems to be this sort of unquestioned adoration sometimes, I feel. Mm. You know, it almost sometimes seems to be through the roof. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think some people are critical of things in those games, but the level of polish and, as I say, the maturity of the storytelling in this medium that we have is... Oh, he's gone again. Fraser's fucked off.
No, I'm here.
No, it's Fraser that's gone.
Oh, is he?
His laptop's broken again.
Back again.
It was too much power. There was too much hardcore comment coming through there. Anyway, yeah, I feel like some people are critical of the games. Mechanically, definitely, The Last of Us got a bit, say, the story's great and everything, but the actual gameplay part of it's not that great.
Mm. So. All right. Did we lose Dave?
No,
I'm here.
He's just fucked up. He's just gone off screen. He's having a quick wank, I think.
No, my daughter came to the door.
Oh, well, that's good. Oh, that was massively inappropriate then.
Terrible. Okay.
So anyway, the wise old elf did say... Let's move on. Just pretend that didn't happen. Wise old elf did say, the top two are really hard to split, but you had to go with the story-based game, as it's generally my preferred option. A reminder that is God of War over Elden Ring. Last of Us 2 would have been number one, but it's his second playthrough. Have a great holiday period, and thanks for another year of podcast magic.
Wise old elf, we appreciate that no end.
Yes.
And I'm sorry if I've offended you with my not liking The Last of Us. But to be fair, what wise old elf, he backs up what you were saying, Neil. Like, good stories, people like them. I just, you know me, I've never liked stories in games anyway. I don't know.
I don't mind if there's a good story. I just like the game to be good as well.
Mm.
No.
Maybe I should shut up and play Last of Us 2 before I...
I don't know. I'm not sure I'm ever going to play Last of Us 2.
No?
It's just a bit depressing by the sound of it.
All right. Okay. All right. Wise Old Elf, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. MS Rangers has dropped in the Discord to say he really does hope that 2023 is going to be a killer year for gaming, as I thought 2022 was going to be that special year. So much got delayed. It's not been a great year. I assume that means year for me at least. Although there has been some really good games, I think due to many months between them, it's made 22 feel like it's not a brilliant year. Here's the top five in order. Number one, Elden Ring. Number two, Vampire Survivors. Okay. Number three, God of War Ragnarok.
Okay.
Until someone's got a PS5. Number four, The Artful Escape.
That's not been on the list yet, has it?
No.
Is that the one with the guy with the guitar?
Yeah, it was. It was cool, but it wasn't.
Yeah, maybe it struck a chord with him.
Whee!
Oh.
Do you like to riff any more on that?
No. Come on.
Lava Fire was Dying Light 2.
I
don't think any of us have played Dying Light 2.
No, I enjoyed what I played of Dying Light. I put a lot of hours into Dying Light, actually.
Was it not a vampire?
Zombie game.
It was zombies in a destroyed city, lots of climbing, parkour, like tons of that. They did it very well. It was a really well-made game, but I never played number two.
I might have played number one. It might have been number three. Yeah. Weekend, lots of roofs and jumping around. And
yeah, it's a bit of parkour.
Yeah.
And he says, a special mention to the Steam Deck, his first and probably only dip into PC gaming, and wishes us a happy new year. Thank you for providing me entertainment throughout the year. Thank you for listening.
My pleasure, Mark. I will give a special mention to Mark, who I ended up meeting when I was back in England. Which was a pleasure. And now I count him among a number of other people I've met thanks to podcasting and gaming, which has been great.
You're another person I have met.
He's a friend. No, that sounded a little bit septic. No, it's good. We had a good chat and stuff like that. And hopefully we'll catch up next time we're over. We'll in one of our debauched pub sessions, no doubt.
Yes. I've just realised we had a question on Twitter, which we haven't got to.
Oh, yeah?
Which is not Game of the Year related.
Oh, okay.
So I might have to bookend. They took their Game of the Years with a question. But we did get a couple of Game of the Year lists on Twitter.
Oh, we did?
We did.
Okay.
Paul W., a regular tweeter of ours, says, Happy New Year. The games that come to mind are Cyberflunk 2077, Dying Light 2.
Hang on. Cyberpunk? Is that his number one?
Well, he hasn't really put them in order. He's not numbered them.
Okay.
Dying Light 2.
Ah. Yeah. Okay.
Elden Ring.
Yes.
Demon's Souls.
Oh.
There's more than five here.
Is that the remaster?
I assume so, because he's got a I know he's got a PS5, so I would have thought so. Dark Souls Remastered and Dark Souls 2. There's definitely a theme there. Plus a whole load of other titles. And he's just about.
How many has he got in there?
There's more than five. I said that already. There's more than five.
Right.
He says he's just about to play his Christmas present from his wife. God of War Ragnarok on the PS5, which I'm assuming will be in his next Game of the Year list.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, Paul.
I was going to, before you do that, I was just going to say, Sumu messaged in Twitch saying, I visited Seelheim today, talking about Valheim. And there's a new boss stone with a new biome called the Ashlands. And apparently my architecture is still a thing of beauty in it, so it hasn't been deleted yet.
It hasn't been harvested for
no, for resources, no.
The forest's worth of wood.
Yeah. Sorry, Dale. You carry on.
No, that's good. That's good.
Okay. From it's, Paul. Yeah, pretty much appreciated. Thank you very much.
And then we had one other on Twitter. It was Cullen, Multiplat Man. Just says Elden Ring. Not much else, really. Played a bit of High on Life. That's funny. Hope we had a good Christmas. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Colm. Much appreciated.
Colm.
Okay. Yeah. Shall we just take a quick pee break before we move on to ours?
Oh, you want a pee break, do you?
I do. I'm busting. Sorry, okay. Busting.
Okay. We'll do a pee break in 3, 2, 1. I'm very hot.
Oh, I'm hot. I'm going to change. I've changed. Okay.
Ooh, that's played an ad.
Ooh. It's not for me. I've subscribed.
No, because you're subs. But yes, I've just had a message saying pre-roll ads are disabled for 21 minutes. So I assume it played an ad for non-subs.
Oh.
Playing music for me.
Oh, I don't have the audio on. Yep. Because I'm recording. Oh, dear. We haven't spoke about our Christmases or anything.
No.
We just got straight into it, haven't we?
Yeah.
I don't know if Fraser wants to talk about it. Sounds like it's been stressful for him.
Yeah, I've done it. Really. Xbox Research.
I went out on a bike today.
Did you?
Yeah.
Has it been all right weather in it? In the last
Yeah, it's been pleasant. Oh, yeah, I thought, fuck it, I'll go out. Started. I was like, yes! Oh, I might as well go out.
Yeah, my car is dodgy. It's got fucking mould in the boot, and it keeps getting damp inside. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Don't know where it's coming from. Time for a new fucking car.
Expensive now.
Wife's car's still shit. Fucking aircon's shit. The whole fucking electronics car part of the car is just fuck up.
Oh, right.
Right,
is that a Qashqai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The radio and everything's still just fucked.
What?
I've never had it looked at, though. It's just like, it costs like a fucking grand for a new fucking thing. I'm not paying that.
No.
I just won't buy another one.
Yeah. Just get a battery radio.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like, oh, it's Bluetooth, but, oh, no, that doesn't like. It doesn't like fucking, just cuts out on the Bluetooth as well. It's like, fucking piece of shit. But apparently it doesn't do that when I get a phone call. I've never had a problem when I've received a phone call on Bluetooth.
Oh, okay.
But when I'm playing music, it just fucks it. It's like, fucking annoying.
Weird, man.
Oh, I'm going to have to take this hoodie off.
We got six people in the chat.
Yes. Wee. You're on mute, Fraser.
Okay.
Right,
you ready to go back?
Yep.
Okay, we'll be back in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, we're back. Thank you for your patience. Right, let's move on then to our list.
Did we finish everything? What do you want to do about the question?
What question?
There was a question that we got on Twitter today that I forgot about.
Save it till next week, unless it's relevant for today.
Well, it's from Stuart Cullen, so... It's a special one.
Oh my God! Is it now? Say, is it mentioned state? That's what, please. No.
Come on, you gotta say, you gotta do it. Do it now. Come on.
Come on. Won't take long.
Come on then.
Okay, it says, in the week that saw Nvidia announce the discontinuation of its GameStream service, and with the imminent death of the Titan, the Tiz Stadia, brackets, R.I.P., Sweet Prince, is this a sign of streaming starting to dry up, or is it just nature's way of trimming the fat from the prime cuts? And then he says, oh, and Happy New Year to you all and all that jazz when it comes, and so on and so on.
Thank you very much, Stuart. It's much appreciated. Good to hear from you again. Good to hear.
Do you know what he means by the game stream stuff, by the way? I bet you don't know.
Do I know what he means by it?
Yeah, because it's not, they're not binning off their GeForce Now streaming. They're binning off the thing that you can stream from your PC to an NVIDIA Shield.
Oh.
As I read about. Unless they are just binning off the whole streaming as well. I'd read about the game stream thing, which is where you stream from your PC to another device, like the Steam Link.
So I think all of these things are really good as an idea. The amount of use that it actually gets, like per person, per that actually plays games, is very little. Like extremely
small. Some people definitely use it a lot, but they're definitely in the minority.
Yeah. So I just don't think there's a market
for it. The thing that's this kicked off a bit of fuss because they sold their NVIDIA Shields on one of the main selling points, other than it being like a 4K streaming box, was that you could do the game stream thing from your PC to the NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah.
And it worked pretty well in my experience because I have.
And it was all dependent on your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, well, if you've got any sense, you don't Wi-Fi it, you put it through a cable. And it works very well. But they basically said, you can still use the Steam Link app to do the same thing. So, but there is another app, or several other apps, that use the technology from GameStream, and they are basically fucked now. They just don't work, or they won't work when it fucking bins it. So, one called Moonlight.
Never heard of it.
Which, yeah, it used the NVIDIA game stream technology to stream from your PC to a device, not necessarily an NVIDIA device. But yeah, that doesn't work now. Well, won't soon. So I don't think streaming is going anywhere. I think it will still grow.
So Sumu's put in, Steam Link is great. It's an app now. I was playing Football Manager 23 in bed on my iPad through my Steam Link, and it's flawless. For games that do.
So you run it on your computer, and then you run the Steam Link app. It works on phones and stuff. So
I could be all over that. How do you control it then? How does the controller side of that work?
On what?
Are you controlling
the Football Manager?
I think finger is the mouse. Like,
no, I don't want to do that though. I'm not interested.
But if you're on an iPad, like the thing is, on I know through Game Pass, you could stream Football Manager 23, the Xbox version,
right,
onto a tablet or a phone, and it had a touchscreen interface built into the streaming. So you didn't need a controller or a mouse or anything. You literally would just tap on the screen.
Right.
So Steam Link seems like it works the same way as that, where you literally, okay, it just gives you a touchscreen interface. So you're muted, Rose.
Which is no good for me.
Well, no touchscreen.
I'm not interested in a touchscreen interface to play. Like, I want to use a controller, but I want to sit in.
You can do that.
I know I'm just being thick here. I'm in bed. I've got my iPad. I'm going to run a Steam app now on my iPad.
Yeah.
How does my controller tie in? What controller do I use, and how does it tie in?
Anything that's Bluetooth or capable to that can connect to your iPad, you can then use as a controller. You might need to run Steam in big picture mode on your PC.
Interesting.
But yeah.
Okay. Good.
I think as long as you compare a controller, I think you compare 360 controllers to iPads.
Well, they're not Bluetooth.
No, I think it's the new ones you can.
Oh, is it just the new ones? Is that?
Yeah.
I think so.
DualSense PS5 ones are Bluetooth. PS4 ones are Bluetooth.
I might have to have a look at that.
What are you going to play in bed? All your hentai games?
I'm going to play Shower With Your Dad Simulator.
No, I think there's definitely going to be a it's going to come down to Xbox and Steam that just do the streaming services. They're the big name brands. I think the smaller name ones, well, whatever, like Nvidia are like, yes, it's a big name for PC players, PC like, but for the general populace, like nobody knows who that is. And then you said there's one called Moonlight that uses
that's
it's like the audience is like a percentage of the people that know about streaming, and Nvidia will know about that. So yeah, I think it would just go down to Xbox and Steam.
I think Nvidia are still in it for the, like, they've got fucking pots of money for somehow. Maybe because they're massively overcharging the graphics cards. But yeah, I can see them trying to make a go of their GeForce Now thing, because that's what I think they've binned off GameStream to force people onto GeForce Now,
right?
And you'll just stream it because they've invested tons of money into their servers with 38 graphics cards built in and all that stuff. So I can't see them. And they're not like Google, they've just been it at the drop of a hat. So.
I don't know.
Interesting. You know, it's still, everyone's still trying to figure it out, right? You know, it's, it's interesting.
Yeah, maybe Google will make a comeback.
Okay, all right. Stuart, thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. Your long-time association with the Stadia brand has not been forgotten, nor will it ever be forgotten. Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year. Let's get into what we got on our lists then.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
We're going first with our number fives.
Should I go first?
Got to find my little file that I left.
Did anybody have any honorable mentions?
What? Throughout the list that we've just read out?
Yes.
No, that was what we listened to literally read out everything.
There's not on my list, but I'd like to do a shout out for Wreckfest. I've played a lot of that.
Yeah, you always see you dipping back into that. Yeah.
It's not my game of the year, but they've done a lot of updates and they've actually done it cross platform now between Xbox and Steam. They've also got a mobile version that is quite good. I haven't played it, but I've seen and heard of people talking about it. That's my honourable mention, is that Wreckfest is still, they're still working on it. It's a couple of years old now. And it's a very fun, very stupid destruction derby game. That nothing matters, and it's just fun to bomb about in a car, and you either wreck people or you get absolutely mullered, and then you play another game. Yeah.
Okay, I had as an honourable mention PokerStars VR, actually. Was just it's not new by any means, but I really did enjoy strapping on the Oculus Quest 2 and playing some roulette. So there was a period where I was jumping in and playing that. It's just a very neat experience. It seemed to work pretty well. And
did you get your dopamine hit from winning?
A few times.
are you still getting VR used in your house?
The VR is still getting used by my son.
Okay.
I would say his use has slowed down a bit, yes, but he still uses it. He's very interested in whenever there's an update to Blade and Sorcery, which is the main thing he jumps into all the time. He's always keen to see what they're adding in. And I've got a feeling that he's probably going to continue to use it. I know of quite a few people who picked up quests over the holiday period.
I hope they enjoy it for the next 2 weeks and then drop it like anyone else.
He's cynic.
I feel like VR is definitely going to die before streaming.
We'll see. We'll see.
No one's doing VR. PlayStation VR is coming out. It costs more than a PS5 to get a PlayStation VR. All right.
Did you have an honourable mention, Neil?
I've got two games at number five at the moment.
Okay.
I can't split.
You need to split them.
Have to.
Five's only worth a point at number five.
I'm giving Gran Turismo 7 an honourable mention.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it is exceptionally well made, and you put quite a bit of time into it, but it's definitely flawed.
Right.
Lots of grinding, I've heard.
Yeah, it's like the money side of it's a bit of a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And the pricing of the credits is fucking ridiculous. And the way you earn credits, the amount of times, because they do these fucking, like, every day you log in and do 26 miles, you get a roulette ticket or whatever, of varying quality. The amount of times I've had a 5-star roulette ticket and you get like 5 potential prizes spinning around. I play the little tune and you hear the little beep going slower and slower and it gets to the big one and then it goes another beep to the next one, which is always the fucking smallest one. And I'm like, yeah, fuckhead. And it goes from like giving you like 500,000 credits to about 10,000, and you're like, fuck off. That's annoying. I'm like, why put that in a game? It's shit. Fucking shit. So that's
your honourable mention. Okay.
That's the shittest thing about it. Is the money side. Because it's just like, unless you're hammering at fucking hours and hours and hours on it, you don't earn any money.
Yeah.
So. Well. Or maybe it's different if you race online, but
you don't.
Yeah, I think because you can probably rent the cars, you don't have to own the cars to race in online and stuff like that. But it's a car collecting game, half of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got some nice cars. But...
Okay, so what do we got for number fives? Who wants to start? Shall I start?
So, I was going to say I'll start. My number five is Vampire Survivors.
Oh, that's low down for someone who has Vampire Survivors in there. I'll tell you right now, actually, that's the third vote for Vampire Survivors.
I enjoyed Vampire Survivors. It was a great game. There's lots to talk about. There's lots of discovery. You know, every time I played, there was like something new. It was like, oh, I could do this, or I could do that, or, you know, or, oh no, I'm fucking dead again in like 2 minutes. It's still one of those games that it's still installed and I will pick it up because again there's lots of updates and
there's
and
DLC in now, isn't there?
Is there? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the base game is good enough. There's lots
DLC
of,
I think costs about £1.40 or something.
£1.40.
Bit steep.
But no, I think it's a very insane. There's lots of clones of it. But I think there's a...
Yeah, I think someone's going to come up with a game that's going to be that, but really nice looking.
Well, there was really rumors that they were going to port Vampire Survivors to Unreal Engine, I think, wasn't it?
Was it? Were going to move engine, but I don't know what that's going to work. How that's going to work.
How hard was can that it be?
Well, I don't know.
Just press the button.
I'm not a game developer. I assume this, like, it would be not straightforward because I don't know what engine it's using now. Probably a proprietary fucking programmed yourself engine, which is why it gets to a point where it absolutely chugs.
Well, no doubt we're going to see it pop up again. Neil, what have you got for your number five?
My number five didn't come out this year, but I played a lot this year, and that's Halo Infinite, which I recently played again. And now it's probably worthy of a game of the year because it's got a whole load of good stuff in it that it didn't have when it came out. I was playing shitload every day. I was playing this game. I came up on my Xbox True Achievements thing. I'd played like 100-something hours, 150 wow. hours of it. I was like, I didn't realize I played it that much.
Yeah, that's a good go.
Yeah, so I definitely put some time into this game over this year. It was earlier on in this year, but I thought I'd better put it in my top five because it was fun most of that time. And now, particularly, I went in the other day and I was just chuckling away to myself playing because they've got the Forge mode in there now. So people are making all these mad, crazy maps. And I don't think the one I don't know if it was a Forge map the other day. It was a new map I'd never played before, but like they'd reduced the gravity as well. And there was a load of, there was one game mode that was particularly funny. And that was just like low gravity. And you start off with a grappling hook. So you're like whizzing around fucking all over the place. And like, it's quite a lot of verticality on the map. But you basically, no one's got any guns and they're just chucking the explosive containers at everyone. And it was fucking hilarious. So there's loads of cool stuff in Halo now, in Halo Infinite, that was not there and hasn't been there for quite some time. So if you've got Game Pass, or it's free, to be fair, the multiplayer, it's definitely worth having another look at it. I know I got a message from Snoogans the other day saying he's been on the custom browser, going, it's mad what stuff is in there now. And it's actually fun now. Because people have just got the keys to the kingdom.
Do you get the maps with naked ladies all over the
background? No, I haven't seen anything. I've not ventured through the custom browser. But I know like what a lot of people will do is just recreate all of their maps from other Halos. All of the favourites. In a much nicer graphics than they've ever been in before. Like I said, it was just only played for an hour or so the other day, and I was like, this actually is a lot of fun. And if you had a group of people in there, you could have a good laugh for a good few hours, I reckon. Cool. So that's my number five.
Okay. My number five is Last Call BBS, which was a game. There was a spate of games by Zachtronics that got released on Game Pass halfway through the year. Shenzhen IO was one of them. That was far too.
That was machine code programming, pretty much.
Yeah, that was on a level that I just couldn't. I was never going to play that game. Last Call BBS. It's sort of like a suite of mini games. You sort of fire it up. It's like firing up an old computer back from the 90s. And, you know, you hear it buzzing and the hard drive whirring. And then you have basic Windows and go into the different you have to download the applications over 56K modem. So you have all that. It makes you wait. Well, I mean, I don't think it makes you wait as long as games probably did back then, but it certainly makes you wait a little bit of time. It's just, it's a really nice slice of nostalgia. The games are interesting. I didn't get on with all of them, but one of them I did get on tremendously well was the,
Dungeons and Diagrams.
The dungeon. Yeah. Yeah, what was it? Dungeons and something or other?
And Diagrams?
Yeah.
It could have been. And that was like where you had, you had to figure out where the
walls were.
Yeah, the walls and the paths and all that sort of stuff was really good. And then they had another game in there, which was you just built Gundam models.
It was like a figurine.
Yeah, it was like literally you would take the... when you have a model kit and you have all the bits of the model on the plastic and you all the sprues and all that sort of stuff, and you pick up your snips and you snip the bits off and you have to snap them together and paint them, and there's an airbrush application in there. And I built one of the Gundams and just lost myself in it for a few hours while I built it. Just pleasant. you know, very and very well done. Mm-hmm. It was just an. I really thought it was a refreshing, something different. It's really odd that something that mimics something of old is refreshing, but it was, and they just have a level of polish to it that it's just, it's not, it wasn't jank. It didn't look bad. If, in fact, one of the things I noticed on it, the more was you had to look hard and then you would suddenly realize what it was doing to give you that overall old time experience. I don't know if that makes any sense. Mm. It's that sort of thing. How much is there? How important are the things that we don't notice? Right.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was had hours and hours and hours into the game that I suddenly noticed that it put sort of like a bezel around my monitor to give it an old a very slight tint, so it made your monitor look like it was an old CRT.
Okay, with a bit of a curve on it.
A little bit of glare or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just a joy. It was just something really nice in a sea of stuff we've seen, you know, before. It was, you know, it was cool.
Still on Game Pass.
Oh, is it? Good. Yeah. Well worth it. I don't think they're expensive games on Steam. And then there was a third game that they released, which I can't even remember. Oh, there was Exa something or whatever.
Exapunks.
Yeah. I think that one was pretty cerebral
That was pretty, cody. But Opus Magnum is one of those.
Oh, Opus Magnum is, yeah. That's almost in a league of its own. That is something else. So, that was my number five, Last Call BBS.
Hmm. Hey, Dave, you back to number four?
Back to number four. So my number four is X4 Foundations. It is a bit of an older game. There's been lots of updates and DLCs for it. I played the base game. And it's a game that I think about often. I spoke about it earlier. It's a very large game. The actual just main game without the DLCs will take you hundreds of hours of playthrough, and every single playthrough is different because it's procedurally generated on a new playthrough, where alliances change, strengths of enemies change, the enemies navigating through systems change. The map stays the same, and the economy stays the same between games, but it's very complicated. You can play it as a top down strategy game, or you can play it as a first person shooter, as a space game, being the actual ship that goes after and does combat, or you can just completely ignore that, and you can just play it as a strategy. So yeah, that's my number four. It's a fantastic game. If you're at all interested in any of that, play it.
Where were you playing at? On PC, right?
PC. Yeah. I don't think it's available on anything else. It's a very complete game.
Mark can play it on his Steam Deck.
He can play it on Steam Deck, yeah. Why not? Give it a go. Let's just check if it is. Before I say that, I am actually double checking it is Steam Deck compatible, because they're not always, are they? These games.
Some of them, I don't know what they're called. Some of them are like green ticks and other than the yellow. So like it should work. Like everything 100%.
It hasn't been optimized or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm looking at it. Is it on single player, Steam achievements, full controller support, Steam training games? Oh, okay. It's Steam Cloud, but it doesn't say Steam Deck. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
your mileage may vary.
But yeah, I it's brilliant. I love it.
Okay. Neil, number four.
My number four is going to disappoint you, Fraser, because it's Hunt Showdown at number four.
Ooh. Okay. A measly 2 points for Hunt.
Yeah, it's yeah, got me back into the gang, I suppose, playing multiplayer with you lot for a while.
You were playing a lot. I had to rethink the other day. I was like, did Neil play a lot of that? And I was like, yeah, you must have played a lot because you got your five characters up to max.
Yeah.
That's
you. I haven't played for a few weeks. But I did play a lot for a long time. It was all I was playing for a good few weeks, I'd say.
Right. I remember playing a lot, yeah.
And there was one or two weeks. I think I did 90 hours in like 2 weeks.
Right.
So I did play a lot in a couple of weeks. And then it kind of slowed down a bit. But yeah, it's not really quite like anything else multiplayer-wise that I've played until that point. So it was a bit... I know it wasn't a new game by any means, but they keep freshening it up. I've played one game on the new stuff, but I was playing with Matt, and he's too high level, so I was just getting insta-killed by anything he encountered, and it was not fun at all. So
yeah, you need to come out with us. Come out. There's a couple of us who are more into the just going balls to the wall. Not all the time, but sometimes just grabbing a shotgun and getting stuck in there.
I don't feel like Matt was much more aggro than he was the last time I played with him. It was just I couldn't compete with the players we were up against now. It was just like I'd peek my head out the window and I'd just get shot.
Double peek. Don't double peek. Well, never double peek.
There was one guy, I was like, he feels like you're fucking cheating, because he was just killing everyone on the map. He'd killed everyone.
Maybe he
was. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Although saying that, if that was how recent that was, Matt pulled us up into a lobby the other day where we got overrun by 6-star players, and it was just savage. Right? Mm. It was just a completely different game, and it's like the lobby just changes. So for people who don't know, you get a rating. From 1-star up to 6 stars. 1-star and are brand new players.
Who the fuck are 1-stars? I've never seen a 1-star. I don't think brand we've ever players. Been 1-stars.
No, somebody who, I think Jordan or Gary killed a 1-star player today. It just means they're brand new. Absolutely fresh out of the box.
Not even ranked.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you don't get it till you get to Bloodline 11 or whatever when your players are...
Yeah, 2-star you have to be... Yeah, once you get to Bloodline 11, you probably get bumped to 2-star. 2-star players, you have to be really shit to be a 2-star player. And then 3-star.
If you've been playing for a while.
And then I think 3-star, if you're sort of that person who gets killed, gets a kill, gets killed, gets a kill, or whatever, you know, around about a
3
maybe
a
1 or below KD, then you're sort of a 3-star. And then once you hit 4-star, then you're up into... I think once you hit 4-star, you suddenly jump into that next lobby group. And then you're up with the 5s and up with the 6s. It's pretty savage. So.
Yeah, well, I'll just stay at 3 stars then. Make it actually fun.
Oh, yeah. You got to go out and get yourself killed a few times. Make sure you keep yourself in the bottom feeding. It's good eating. As Matt says, it's good eating at the bottom.
It's not really like anything else, I don't think. Maybe, I don't know. I've not played Tarkov, so, but people do liking it. But it's like the jank of the guns. And stuff like that. Everyone's got shit guns. No one's got good guns, really. Yeah. Even the good guns are still shit, which is what makes it a bit fun.
Yeah, it takes a bit of getting used to, but...
Yeah.
Like, only being able to fire, like, one bullet every 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not quite that bad. You've got a breach... One round in your rifle, and you shoot it, and it literally takes 3 to 4 seconds to load your next...
I can't even tell you the amount of times I've gone, like, done a cheap loadout with something like a Romero, which is a single barrel shotgun. And I've got myself in trouble because I've taken the shot and forgotten that I don't have a pump action or something. Mm. And of course, you sit there and you reload it. It's like, crack the barrel, take out the old one, put the new one in, crack the barrel, whatever. And by that point, the guy's just laughing at you as he's lining up the shot to blast you into Kingdom Come.
Yeah. yeah, it was definitely something a bit different than the norm.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll come back to that, no doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave.
Did you do a 4?
Oh, did I do my 4? Yeah, oh, no, I didn't. My number 4, with a tip of the hat to Neil, is Death's Door. It was just, I thought it was a wonderful... dungeon crawler, I guess, is a way to put it. Maybe almost like a puzzle platformer in a way. The combat, once you got used to the combat, I thought the combat was excellent, actually. It was far... You start playing and you're like, the combat's a bit not that great. But really, once you start appreciating what you can get away with, because you can't just go in and like smash an X button, you will get destroyed. No. You have to sort of go in, take a couple of swipes, back off again, pick your moments. I remember, I think we did this a number of times, and we talk about this with lots of games. The game has a certain way of playing. It's the only way you're going to beat it is if you adhere to their rules. And Death's Door was one of those that really is quite a stickler for that. If you do not give the game the respect it deserves, it lets you know. You're dead.
It's cute looking.
It's charming as fuck. Yeah, it really was.
It's brutal as fuck at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, it was good. And I, for my sins, and I hate to admit it, I never beat that final boss.
Which one was the final?
It was the Lord of Doors, wasn't it? Or something. I think.
Yeah, I finished it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my number four is Death's Door.
Very good.
I should have played more.
More people. That's still on Game Pass, isn't it?
I'm not 100% sure about that. Davey boy.
So, my number three is Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2.
Oh.
I have very much enjoyed both the multiplayer and DMZ this year. I haven't played the last one I really played was the Warzone 1, but that was like last year or the year before. And I didn't
2019 Modern Warfare.
2019. I played a lot of the small Warzone. The I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the small map.
I can't remember either.
It was the small map, but they're not doing. I don't like the Warzone so much this year, but I like the DMZ and the multiplayer. And I picked it up very early in November, and I've put 90 odd hours into it so far, and I'm still enjoying it. It's just so easy to pick up and have a round or two.
I didn't find that.
No, you didn't enjoy it so much. But I suspect that's because you got pulled into games with people on my player skill level.
Oh, okay. I feel like that might have been a diss.
If you've been playing a game for that amount of time, you get to know the game very well.
Yeah, I didn't. I was just dying a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
But no, I when I play it, I know why. A lot of these games, when you get first person shooters, and it just feels like, well, I'm sure you know, when you're unfairly killed and you don't have a chance, like it puts you off. It put you off because you got pulled into games where you're playing with people that had the same amount of time, 90 odd hours. Of playtime in it. But like, I never feel, I always know why I die. So yeah, it's whether the guns that I'm using or, you know, I haven't looked or been focusing in a certain area. It's very well put together. The DMZ is a fantastic addition. It's a brilliant halfway house between the Warzone and multiplayer.
I do want to play some more of that.
Yeah, that is.
That's where I feel like I could get into it a bit.
Yeah, that is a fantastic addition to it. And there's a lot of depth to it as well, even more so that I even know about. And I think they are going to focus a lot of time and effort into the DMZ because there's a lot of stories that
I think they're quite. I mean, they do know what they're doing, believe it or not. But I think they will definitely put their resources wherever the player base goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the DMZ is being well received across the board.
Mm.
Sounds like it, yeah.
That's it. That's my number three.
Yes.
Cool. All right, to me. Who goes
next? Is it me?
Well, I went second last time.
Okay.
My number three is Vampire Survivors.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I can add to anything that Dave already said about it. So it's just completely out of left field. Not so well. I've never really played anything like it, I guess. Another game from this year that just took a lot of time very quickly, just totally absorbed in it for a while. I ain't been back for it for quite a while, but I feel like I should probably revisit because I'd never finished it all, and I know there's a bit more to it now without the DLC that I didn't do before. But yeah, it was that, like you said, of that little the voyage of discovery.
That's the game that I need to be playing
more
on the Steam Link on my
iPad. I don't know how much lag you'd get on that. But I don't know if it would really matter because it's kind of controlling.
It's quite laggy anyway.
It controls itself to a degree. Like, it's not like your timing needs to be hot on the on the shooting or anything. Because
it's all always plastic, play that on a touchscreen.
Yeah. Well, it's on a mobile now, isn't it? You can play it on mobile.
Can you?
Mm.
I don't know. Mm.
Okay.
It's going everywhere.
Yes. Yes, quite the phenomena. My number three is Temetsi, which people will have heard me mention a number of times recently. Not a new game by any means, released in 2017. It's a Minecraft-esque type of puzzle game where you're presented with different types of
Minesweeper, you mean?
Sorry, Minesweeper. What did I say?
Minecraft.
No, Minesweeper, yes. Yes. Minesweeper. Yeah, definitely not a Minecraft game. Like Minesweeper, it's a puzzle game. You have different different board layouts, squares, hexagons, slightly different rules from game to game. And it's just, I've just loved it. I've loved it. It's 75% off right now. It costs 82 cents. And I have sunk tens of hours into that now, no doubt about that, I'm sure. And I just every so often, if I'm just done with Hunt or whatever, done with whatever, it's like picking up a crossword, I guess. It's just scratching that itch of just a little bit of...
Well, that sounds like a iPad touchscreen job in bed.
Absolutely, but I can't find it. It's not on mobile.
No, but you could Steam Link it. Steam Link it on your iPad.
Oh, yeah, and I could probably touchscreen it too, yeah. Yeah, they just do a number. They do some really cool things. They've just got it's an excellent interface. They've got an excellent little bit where you can use a paintbrush to make notes on the screen. And I use that all the time now with some of the higher level puzzles that we're at, just to keep track and solve it. I've talked about it numerous times, so I won't go on bang on about it, but it's 75% off now, 82 cents if you're in Canada. I mean, how rich. Can like
expensive.
I mean, in terms of, you know, well, actually there's another game coming up for me next which has already been mentioned a few times. I mean, that costs practically next to nothing as well, so it's quite amazing that these games can
Death Store, by the way, is still on Game Pass, just to
remember. Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, so that's my number three, Temetsi.
Right, we'll go to my number two then.
Getting excited now.
My number two, it's not a new game. Factorio.
Okay.
It's a building economy game. I played quite a bit of Factorio this year.
This is on sale as well.
Haven't really spoke about it much, but the amount of mods that completely change the economy and the sort of game play is amazing. It's community support is underselling how much people love and like change a game for fun, just for funsies. So yeah, I've been playing a lot of Factorio. It's not a new game. It's, if you love any type of these games, like Factorio is a staple of that type of game. And yeah, it's just been one of my go-to. Pop it on, play a bit, ride around on some, just messing about. Like having enemies on or not having enemies on is fine. Like both are fine. Like fail or not, I don't care. It's just a fun world to be in. So yeah, Factorio, my number two.
All right. Okay.
Neil.
You.
My number two is Tunic.
Or Tunic? Or Tunic?
Tunic. Like a cloak that you wear. I have spoken about it at length over the last few weeks. Its cuteness belies how difficult it is. It's a Death's Door-ish. Kind of looks like a cutesy game, but it's actually pretty tricky combat-wise. I don't think it's quite on the level combat-wise as Death's Door. A little bit more forgiving. But you definitely need to be on your toes when you're doing the fights and managing your enemies and stuff like that, not getting yourself overwhelmed. You get to a point later in the game where you've powered up your strength and stamina points. You it's like a mini RPG in a way. Like you find things that you need to make yourself stronger, which makes the earlier parts of the game a bit easier. The problem with the game for me was the critical path, knowing exactly where you're supposed to go. But at the same time, that's kind of part of the joy of it as well, like just the exploration and not necessarily going the right way and fucking finding yourself in a tricky spot or two and then going, actually, maybe I should just go somewhere else.
Right.
So it probably took me a bit longer than it does if you know exactly where to go.
But did you finish it in the end then?
I finished it, yeah.
Okay.
I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's just, like, I was going on about Death's Door, how great that was. This is, I think it's better because of the extra stuff in this game that Death's Door didn't have. The stuff with the game manual, because they're like, when this is like a love letter almost to like an old 90s Zelda-ish type game. I never played Zelda back in the day, so it's like it looks a lot better than the 90s Zelda game, obviously. But it's just the stuff with the manual and the hidden stuff that reveals itself as you go through the game. And like I said before, like the stuff that's been there in plain view the whole time, but you didn't know about it until towards the end. Yeah, that's just like when it all clicks at the end, you're like, fucking hell. That's so clever. And everything about it is just so great. It's on Game Pass. You should definitely be playing it if you have a Game Pass subscription. And it does, like I said, if you get a little bit lost, you can probably, without spoiling anything, you can probably find where you need to go by looking it up online.
Right.
If you have if you start a walkthrough at the beginning of the game but don't refer to it until you get stuck, and then so you don't spoil it as you go through. Like don't search for stuff because you might find stuff out that you don't want to find it till the end. But, yeah. An absolute
cryptic pleasure. Enough.
20 odd hours, I think I did on it in the end.
Okay.
So it's pretty chunky, but not outrageous.
Okay. That's on my to play list again.
Well, you know, I'm always right about games.
Yes.
Just takes your time to get to them.
All right. My number two is Vampire Survivors. Again, not much that needs to be said. Totally out of left field. for a game that seems so incredibly simple and so little for you to do, it was just incredibly entertaining and Moorish and needed to play one more game. And I guess it's maybe the I think a lot maybe people fall off this game too early, because once you reach a certain level, it starts to just unleash dopamine hits on you, like, you know, little rewards and things aren't being unlocked all the time. And you're starting to combine weapons and you get a feel for what's effective and what isn't. And it doesn't seem so daunting. You get better at it. Yeah, it was just fantastic.
Did you ever kill death?
I did not. No. And it's not as though I didn't put in some time on it either. Yeah. So, yeah, I need to go back to that. I'm not 100% sure I really will go back to it, but I just feel like it gave me enough wow for it to make the list no problems. You know, it was just I don't even think I probably haven't put as much time into it as I did something like Tometsi, but I think it deserves to be above it. It was just it's something else. Yeah. It's quite the game. Quite the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my number two, Vampire Survivors.
Here we go, it's big time now.
Ooh. Let me see if we can guess each other's number one.
Yeah, you differ.
Well, Fraser's Hunt.
Yeah.
Dave's with me.
I'm not sure about Dave's.
Neil's is going to be, what's it called? That one, Elden Ring.
I think Dave might be RimWorld.
Yeah.
RimWorld.
Yeah. So it is. Yeah, yeah. My number one game of the year. If I'd have played a bit more of it and it had come out a bit sooner, it would have been Dwarf Fortress. Ooh. But because that's an absolutely fantastic game and I've only played 20 hours of it and I've barely scratched the surface. My game of the year for this year is RimWorld. RimWorld's again, not a new game, but it's done it's released 2 loads of DLC. Oh, somebody's just subscribed. There's a seal barking in the background.
That's Arnie, friend of the show. Arnie. Thank you, Arnie, much appreciated.
Thank you, Arnie. They've released a couple of DLCs. Namely Biotech, that's the latest one. They've done an ideology and a royalty, not including mods for the game. But RimWorld is a sim colony creation that actually focuses on your characters, the characters that populate your world. And normally you don't have big colonies. Like, you're talking people of like 12, 15, having 20 people in your colony is a large number of people to manage. And RimWorld as a character story colony sim, it makes you invested in the people that you're sort of taking charge of, and the stories that it creates for these people, for these pawns, so to speak, is impactful. You become invested in your little characters, your pawns, and when they eventually die, where they will die, through combat or having a heart attack or somebody going crazy and going on a murderous spree around your colony because you've been neglecting their chemical fascination and they haven't had drugs in a long time. the stories that it creates for your characters and the emotional sort of investment you get in them is there's nothing else like it.
That's interesting you say that, because there's been a number of times my son has played this game a lot, right. And yeah. there isn't a week that goes by where he doesn't at least at some point sit down at the dinner table and tell us about harvesting organs from people or his mushroom farms or whatever it might be. You know, it's just, and I'll walk past his desk and he just wants to show me, you know, what he's got on the go, which looks it's so complicated and I can't make head nor tail of it, but he seems very proud of it and invested in it. Yeah. Mm,
yeah. It's a very deep game and there are very deep games and, you know, things are complicated on a lot of different games for various different reasons. But the RimWorld, because of the way it puts the characters first, like there are various different storytellers in this game, and the way the storytellers basically the AI pushing against your colony, it creates stories. It creates either things that happen to your map, whether it's weather conditions or raids that come in from different things, and it's kind of like it's always pushing forward. You're not just building a township for having a township, and you're fighting against your characters, whether it's food, water, various other resources that might be needed. It's pushing against your investment in you want your characters or your pawns to be like very good in various skills, but then it throws obstacles in their way, and yeah, it's very hard for me to sort of articulate the way that you would enjoy it, but like you I don't know, it's you these the way the every time I play is that there's something new for me invested in. And like you're saying about your son, like, you know, talking about I talk about this to my missus and she's probably, she doesn't give a flying fuck, but it's like, yeah, it's you know, I've created a new farm, but then there's a global catastrophe where a volcano has erupted and like it's a nuclear it's a volcanic winter happening, right. So like the all the time that I've invested like trying to sort of get this farm set up so I can create an economy to sell stuff and send wares to other to get to other colonies to get wealth in is like completely destroyed, and now I've got to send like half my people out and then they've been ambushed by raiders. And like it's yeah, the way that it does it's very clever. It's not just a sort of, you know, build houses then build farms and then and like all this.
There's no formula to success.
No, it's a formula to whatever formula that you think you've got to create success. The AI has got a story making way of like messing with you. And with these new DLCs, it expands upon it. With biotech, there's like children, which is a recent new advancement. But then you don't want children because they're children, they're shit. So you sort of you put them in vats and they grow quicker, or you don't. You know, you don't invest in that technology. And that energy investment, and you have them as just dependents that you've got to protect. And you know, if you're doing that, then there's also an investment in like you want them to grow up well in the right direction of what you need them to do. And yeah, it's definitely worth playing. I don't know if I think it's been on sale. I'm not sure if it's on sale now.
It doesn't go on sale.
Doesn't go on sale that often.
It's on at the minute. For the base game's on a bit of a discount, but
oh, is it?
I just looked, the whole package is £75 for everything.
Yeah, that's been over a couple of years. So, but to be honest, you could just buy the base game. It's like the base game's on 20%, and the amount of mods, people player mods that have created to it, It's amazing. I've had hundreds of hours into it, and I would recommend it to anybody if they're at all interested in it, in that genre. So yeah, that's my game of the year.
Cool.
All right.
Nice.
Neil,
what could it possibly be?
It's the worst kept secret ever. It is Elden Ring. Just an absolutely phenomenal experience from start to finish. I say finish. I've done 200 odd hours or whatever, but I've literally played it in one way, that whole 200 hours.
Okay.
Out of the multiple possible ways to play the game. I never went and respec'd my character, which you can do and just change. Like, you can get to a point in the game and you can just change all of your attributes.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. Because with the previous games, you locked in, weren't you?
Well, there was ways of doing it.
Right.
In 3 for certain, I think, where you could get to a point in the game and you can go see someone, and I mean, you do need some sort of currency, I guess is the word, to be able to change your spec of your characters. I don't know what this is like. Samson's appeared on Fraser's camera, but it's Dave Fraser. I don't know what's going on. Where Samson is exactly? He's climbing up on something weird.
Oh, he's on a bed.
But yeah, it's just like all of the Souls games have led up to this amazing creation. Obviously, like, it's had George R. R. Martin involved or whatever, and he's created the lore. And the fucking the boss enemies in this game are absolutely insane. Like, the story bosses. But the combat, obviously, is just refined from all of the other games. Like I said, I've only played as a samurai. I have not played hardly any magic at all, or any of the faith builds, or just like the knight. Obviously, I've gone with a massive focus on dexterity and agility in my build, and that leads to a certain play style. Like I say, I never went. I could just go and respec my character and play a different way. Fraser's gone again.
I'll be back.
But it's just phenomenal. Are you back?
I'm back.
Good.
My spreadsheet is overpowering my laptop.
Yeah, Excel has just taken over.
Resource hog.
So I feel like I'm going to have to play for it again at least once. Because there's definitely things I haven't experienced in the game. Like I say, as much as I've only played it in one certain playstyle, there's totally things that I missed. There's one boss that there was like a massive deal that was constantly people talking about. I just totally didn't even get to see them.
Yeah, right.
Despite finishing the game. I definitely need to put some more time into it, another couple of hundred hours, maybe. I mean, look, it's had an update recently as well to add. There was these areas of the map that looked like fighting arenas, but you could get into them. But now they are fighting arenas, and you can get into them.
Right.
PvP arenas now.
Have you done any of that yet?
I haven't done any of that. I literally haven't played it since I finished it. Well, barely played it. So maybe a couple of hours, but that was ages ago. I haven't played it since, I don't know, whenever it was. Well, I finished the game. Maybe March or April time. But yeah, I can still remember the things that happened. Like I said about Tunic the other week, like, I do love it when a game makes me just say, what the fuck has just happened? And this did this multiple times, not just in the sort of the fucked up bosses that you fight or anything like that, but just things that happen. You go into press a button and something happens. You're like, fucking what? It's just, like I said, I mean, it took me I never really was into the I never got into Dark Souls when it came out. I never got in. Oh, the Dark Souls 3 was the one that got me. And then I went back and played the old ones. But this is just... I don't know if I can go back and play the old ones. Because I don't think it would just feel weird. Be able to do some of... Because you can just... There's just... You can jump. Like, you can just do a standing jump in Elden Ring, which you can't do in any of the other games.
Can you not?
No. You have to be running to do a little jump. And most of the jumps are fucking pointless anyway. But, yeah, it's just an absolute masterpiece and should be played. It is difficult. It is difficult. I can't deny that it's difficult. But...
Well, even the director of the game famously said, "It's I don't apologise for how difficult it is." Yeah.
But like, they say that, but like, there's some magic builds that you see or people have created, and they're just, well, they go into a boss and just it's dead within seconds because they use this fucking stupid spell that just absolutely annihilates the boss. I never had that experience. There's plenty of YouTube videos of me banging my head against a brick wall on our YouTube channel. Some of them aren't even like big bosses, if inverted commas. Like the first boss you beat, well, you forget to, is like, oh man, this guy's fucking impossible. But then he's not actually that hard.
No.
You have no idea, is it?
Some of the stuff that comes later on is fucking crazy, but
yeah.
It just feels like the magic builds were just could get so overpowered if you go down that road. But there's so much interesting stuff. It's a bit difficult to like the critical path could be a problem, I guess, because you can go anywhere.
Yeah,
in Elden Ring from the beginning, you could just fuck off down that path, and if you don't get killed, you can just keep going. But you're probably going to get killed at some point if you go the wrong way, because it's just there is that sort of areas are not leveled. They don't stop you going in there, but if you do go in places when you're not at the right level, you will just get fucking beasted. But that's part of the fun, is knowing where to go.
I look forward to it.
But you don't know where to go. Nothing's signposted.
Not really. Well, there is a bit of a... With the... What they're fucking called. The Sights of Grace. I mean, I haven't played it for fucking such a long time, and I can still remember fucking stuff like it's fucking clear as day. Some of the things that happened in that game. They give you a hint of where the next boss is.
Right.
They point to the next boss at some of the sites. So there is a bit of assistance in that. But... It points like as the crow flies, which doesn't necessarily mean the way you have to go to get there. just fucking. There was plenty of times I was fucking about ready to lose my shit while I was playing it, but that's what it's like. That's part of the
video
fun.
You posted.
The twin gargoyles was the one that I just fucking. I was absolutely losing my mind over. I think it took me a good couple of hours in one session to beat the fuckers. Right. And I ended up having to call another person in to beat them because I could not do it on my own.
That's part of the gameplay.
Not cheating. It's there. It's a mechanic in the game. It's just a little bit like, that was fucking a bit easy once they came in and did it.
They're just magic there.
No, there was also a fighting bit. Like, I don't know. It feels like magic's cheating. So... As I said before. But it's all about getting your sword out. Whee.
Okay.
So.
Elden Ring, no surprises there. Nope. And of course, okay, is that good? We're good?
Yeah.
Then, of course, it's going to be of no surprise to most people who pay attention that Hunt Showdown is my number one game of the year. I suppose it's a notch on the belt for Neil. We had this conversation the other day about who's laying claim to discovering games that we all end up playing. Hunt Showdown was, I think Neil's taking the credit for that one. We sort of knew about it. It's been out quite a long time, since I think 2018. or end of 2017. But yet here we are four or five years later. And I've been playing it nonstop since we sort of properly picked it up about 4 or 5 months ago. Simply put, you know, I'm not going to go deep into the mechanics of the game. We've done that before, but I mean, it's sort of half battle royale, half sort of, I don't know, whatever, fighty shooty game. There's bosses in there to fight.
It's kind of like PvE VP.
Yeah, PvP VE.
Yeah.
There's an economy. Your hunters have value. They get better the longer you keep them, but there is opportunities for them to be deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, it's just the moments that it's creating. I mean, I for one, anyway, love something with where I'm getting to work with my friends in a team. There are consequences to your actions. You can lose things that you've invested if you lose, if you don't win. So the fights mean something. You're against other players, so fights aren't easy. Solo is a completely different animal. I've played a little bit of solo. I quite enjoy it, but I have to be up for it, and I find I have to be very careful. I'm not an aggro solo player. But I've had some fantastic games playing slow and steady and trying to trap people, a completely different type of game with Matt, who is an expert on that. He is the undisputed king of the trap game. no doubt about that. He's getting himself up to level. He's got to level 5 playing the trap game. I mean, he's that successful at killing people and stealing their shit, which is amazing. And there is nothing better. I mean, we had a game the other day where there were 2 bosses on the map. The team killed the first boss, grabbed the bounties, and then they hoiked themselves up to the top of the map, fought everyone up there, killed them, claimed the second bounty off the people who'd killed the first boss, and then trotted right down to the exit where we had laid traps for them. We killed them and just took the bounty off them and extracted. I mean, they put in all the work, and right at the finish line, we trapped them and killed them and extracted and, you know, and did a little dance on their dead bodies. And the level of satisfaction, you know, it's up there with like winning a game of Warzone, you know, or just even the firefights sometimes, whether they actually result, even if they result in your death, we're having firefights and battles with people that are just stories in themselves, just tremendous, tremendous fun. I had a game yesterday. I'll talk about my clutch yesterday, where I was playing with Jordan and Defoe, and they both went down, and I killed one of the opposite trio, who was still down near me. The two of them came back up near where I was. One of them walks into the house I'm at. I just blatted him, short range, and then I went outside. The other guy's trying to kill me, and I just pulled out my knife and ran towards him and just chopped him in the neck with this knife and clutched it, right? But I couldn't stop thinking about it, like, you know, how nonchalant it almost was to just go from trying to kill someone with a gun to just pulling out a knife and running at them and stabbing them in the neck. Unbelievably satisfying. Somewhat harrowing that, you know, it was that it's starting to be quite second nature. Remember, folks, always run away from a gun, always run away from a knife towards a gun. I think they say.
I was gonna say, was you invested, like, your character that you was playing at the time, was it a new build or was it one that you was like nearly,
well, all that's got a little bit thrown out the window at the moment, because they have an event on where you can get what they call a pledge, where you can lose your character and still, you can die but you still get your character even though he uses all the weapons. So things have changed up a little bit, but that leads me on to the next thing. It seems like it's still very healthy. The map size is your maximum of 12 in a game. So they're very manageable. there isn't the trouble of filling up a lobby like there is PUBG. You know, obviously there's no bots. It seems to be pretty balanced. They keep introducing new things, which are very interesting. The events are fun. Yeah, just the bottom line is it's just been an absolute whale. I'm just having a whale of a time with it.
Still quite an active community of people most playing.
Yeah, it seems to be. Yeah, you know, there's a couple of times it does. Defoe and I get on quite early in the mornings in North America. We'll be up sort of like 6 in the morning sometimes playing.
Jeez.
Those are our morning matches where we go, where we like to. They're the best games too, like fresh faced, fresh up from a night's sleep.
And set yourself up for the day by murdering fools.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Those games seem to be a little bit, maybe a slightly less populated. Maybe slightly. But generally, it feels very healthy. And I just love it. I just love it. It's just, it's PUBG for 2022 for me. You know, it's that sort of experience again that I, but make no mistake. I mean, the game itself is fantastic, but it's a game itself that I'm getting to play with people, you know, getting to play with friends. That is the bottom line. Playing with friends is, for me, is where it's at. It's just great, you know, and working as a team is brilliant. So yes, Hunt. Number one, yes.
Cool. Right, well, do you want to give us a rundown of...
Okay, yeah. So in my podcast that I was trying to keep down below 2 hours, we're now at 2.5 hours. That's the way it works, isn't it? So I'll give
that
you the rundown first.
1 hour pee break you had.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I was dying there again the second time. I snuck one in while he was talking about Elden Ring. Okay, so we had 37 different games mentioned.
Wow.
It's quite the list. But out of those 37 games, only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, only 6 got mentioned more than once. So there is quite the spread of games that people chose. Games that got mentioned more than once, Dying Light 2 got mentioned a couple of times. God of War Ragnarok got mentioned 3 times, and then that leaves the top 5, which was at number 5 with 6 points, 2 threes, was COD Modern Warfare 2, which I think Dave and John Mouse both mentioned.
A very good game. Obviously lots of money been put into it. It's a great game.
Number 4 was God of War Ragnarok, which got mentioned 3 times.
Not by any of us.
Somebody, I
would really like a PS5 to play that game.
You can get a PS5 quite easily now. No, you can't play Ragnarok on PC.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Okay.
Not for another year,
it's
probably.
It's just buying it and having the money for it.
Yeah.
Did you play the first one? Dave.
Huh?
Did you play the first one?
I played one of them on the PS4.
I mean the first one. One before Ragnarok.
No, I played God of War 1, but I haven't played any of
God of War.
You mean God of War 1 back from the PlayStation.
Oh, right? Yeah.
No, there's the one before Ragnarok should be. You should play that one first, shouldn't you? Right. Shouldn't he, Neil?
Yes. Good game.
You can
get that on PC.
Good game.
Probably on sale at the minute.
Yeah, that's what you should start with for sure. Okay, at number 3 was Vampire Survivors, which got 4 votes. Which is good to see for such a small game. At number 2 was Hunt, which got 4 votes, but it rated quite highly among all those votes. So that got 15. Sorry, I didn't do the scores. Yeah, oh yeah. COD Modern Warfare 2 got 6 points. God of War Ragnarok got 10 points. Hunt Shout. Vampire Survivors got 13 points. Hunt Showdown got 15 points. But by far, with an absolute smashing the chart. I thought it might be close, but it wasn't close at all. Elden Ring smashed it with 35 points and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 mentions. So there you go.
Go and buy it now. It's cheap.
No, you know what they really should do. You know what they really should do?
Put it in Game Pass?
No.
Check it out.
Can I have a with a little bit more feeling, please?
Check it out.
Nice. Okay, good. We made it. All right. Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say, Dave and Neil, thank you for a great year of podcasting. You two, it's a pleasure to podcast with you.
Same.
It's been good. It's a nice dynamic. I think we have it all going on. Yeah, it's been great. And for anybody else, honorable mention to Pilch, of course. Who is still there in the background? Who we always miss. He's around somewhere. And to anybody else who's guests, all the listeners, you know who you are. Thank you very much for your support. It means a lot.
Yeah, it's been a great year. It's a pleasure every week. I come on and say hello. The response that we get is continually fascinating. People still listen to us and respond and come back to us, and it's a delight every week where we get people tweet or on our Discord and our interactions. I love it. It's great, and I'm continually thankful for everybody that listens to me rabbiting on.
Yeah, it's good.
Birded. I haven't got a speech.
Okay, you don't have to have one. Birded is fine. Okay, good. All right, well, let's stick a fork in that one for the year. Call that a wrap-up of 2022. Again, thank you so much, everyone. We really do appreciate it. I think we'll be back probably next week as normal. Friday.
All being well.
Okay, so have yourself safe.
We've got predictions to sort out and stuff.
Yeah. The predictions. I think
If you haven't done Game of the Year, feel free to chuck in some stuff. If you haven't already, let us know.
Yep. We're more than happy to read that out. Yeah, for sure. And then we'll be doing our predictions. I think we should probably post something up about that in the Discord. We'll either do the predictions next week or in 2 weeks' time or whatever.
Mm. We'll give us some time to think about how shit we've been in the last few years of doing them.
Yeah, we'll work that out, but that's coming shortly. Okay, all right then. Thanks for everyone, and until next time, we'll catch you later.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.